to turn your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs today. Oh yeah, we had a yesterday we did some work around some kind of some spring cleaning, I guess. It's not quite spring. Didn't feel like it this morning anyway. But some spring cleaning around the property and had some stuff done outside, and then pushing forward on the upstairs, getting that all cleaned up. So for those of you who are here and helping out with that, thank you so much for being a part of that. It's all good, huge help. Forgive my, I have a little bit of stuff hanging out in my sinuses, so I'll try to spare you, but that may be, yeah. No, hopefully it's not going to, it'll stay. Yeah. 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 Oh, goodness. You know, any time is a good time for an upgrade. You ever flown somewhere and you get to the, what is that thing called? The counter. And they say, oh, sir. Or ma'am. We're going to upgrade you today. No, thanks. I'd rather be crammed in the back with everyone else. Now, every day is a good day for an upgrade. And what's always amazing and fun about this group of people, wow, we're full today. Look at all these people. You guys invited your friends. You guys must be really excited for the annual business meeting. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, upgrade. So what's fun about this group of people and is that we all need upgrades. We all in all different areas. And so we're going to hit some of those. I preached this message actually, or almost this message. I changed it some, but I don't know. It was quite a few years back. Thanks, Dave. Look at that. That will help. But we're going to be in Proverbs 3, which is just a great instructional list of how to live an abundant life. How to, it's this how-to list of, well, really what it starts off by saying is live long and prosper. Really, the gist of it is, listen, from Solomon to his son, saying, if you grab all this stuff that I'm going to tell you and you put it in your heart and you act in this way and these things are important to you, then long prosperity, long life and prosperity, that long life and prosperity will follow you, that this is a recipe for long life and prosperity, for a happy life. Does anybody want to have a long life that's prosperous? You're in the right place. We're going to figure out how to do that today. And what I find out, and we're reading through Scripture, or we're just in the process of even reading just a book, that you're finding things, is that the key to a lot of this stuff is what I would call an upgrade. And we find these, we run into areas in our life that we bump into and we think, oh, I need an upgrade in that area. Upgrade in the way I'm thinking, an upgrade in the way I'm feeling or handling, an upgrade in the way I'm behaving. And oftentimes those are all connected, they're interconnected. And if my behavior needs an upgrade, oftentimes it starts in my head or in my heart. I need to see the world differently. I need a new set of core values, or maybe just a bump or an adjustment in my core values. And so we're going to talk about, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Sound good? So Proverbs 3:1 starts off. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity. Right? Live long and prosper. This is King Solomon writing down, who arguably is one of the wisest men to ever walk the earth. And also inspired by God. And so I think it's a list we can trust. That's where we want to start anyway. And so I'm not going to go real deep in this thing. Because it's just an amazing list in a lot of ways, speaks for itself. But really just bring it to you. There's a lot of scripture when we read through the Bible that, we pick our verses that we love. We're like, oh, those are verses. We're going to stake the ground with them. And those will shape who we are. But there's a lot of scripture also that is confusing, and we just kind of like, I'm going to skip over that part. I don't understand it. But this is not one of those. This is one of the scriptures that, like, well, it's a call to upgrade. It's this call to, like, this is who you can be. Like, this is who you should raise your kids to be. And when I think about this list, I actually realize how much of it through the years of working and going to church and even thinking of my parents and thinking of my kids, that it's stuff that I've, some of it intentionally, some of it that I've just absorbed through being taught, and being around the church and being around these core values, that it's just good stuff. It's just really good stuff. And so, in verse 3, it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." So the first thing, I'm going to kind of give you a list. Maybe I have numbers. We'll see. But number one is the key to favor is love and faithfulness. Now, I spoke on love and faithfulness, and you've heard probably lots of messages on my love and faithfulness. I hope we're getting the concept of what love is and what faithfulness is. What I actually want to look at in this is what do I need favor for? And that word favor is kind of thrown around, the favor of the Lord. But this also mentioned the favor of man, the favor of people. And I want to propose to you that I want you to think about this, that I actually believe that favor is the universal currency of the kingdom and the earth, heaven and the earth. It's this universal currency that both the earth and the kingdom respect. Just kind of think about it for a second. Favor is the universal currency of heaven and earth. That's what I believe. It unlocks doors. It pays bills. It answers prayers. It can call into action or even subdue an army. That list goes on and on, but I believe, and even more so after reading this piece of scripture, that we're actually meant to walk in favor. Now, there's some I'm trying not to say any word that might be offensive. Sometimes it's harder than other times. But there's some religiosity that says, like, when people hate you, that's holy. Now, there's some scripture to back up that idea that they will hate you because of my name. And that oftentimes when you stand for the gospel, when you stand for what's right, there is places that you will receive grief, you will receive hatred, you will receive ridicule because of those things, and those are godly and holy, and there's righteousness in that. So I'm not throwing that out. But I do believe that when we walk, I believe this is also true, that when we grab a hold of, tie around our necks, write on our hearts, faithfulness and love, that we're actually meant to walk in favor both with people and with God. Because favor is actually the currency of the heavens, of heavens and earth. Favor is actually how we spend favor in order to, like I said, unlock doors, stop armies. I believe actually that we, not always, oftentimes when we, I don't want to go in deeper than I can get out of. But I think oftentimes favor is actually how how God moves in our prayer life. We talk about, Shelley talked about like the intimacy with the Lord and relationship with the Lord and the romantic relationship that is building between us and the Lord in prayer. There also is that she mentioned also that we do have things we actually contend for. We actually pray for things. We pray for God to move in specific areas. And it's favor, I believe. Now, when you line yourself up with the will of God, that is even more favorable. But there's actually favor that moves the heart of God. And there's favor that moves the heart of man. You actually can move people to do something that they actually don't really want to do because you walk in favor. Now, step out of the kind of thinking about in the kingdom and think about maybe one time where you were pulled over by a CHP officer or a sheriff that when they got to your car window, they recognized you. Now, mirror that and what happened there. Now, depending on why they recognize you, maybe you don't have any favor. Depending on who I'm talking to right now. But I can tell you, I had officers walk up to my window that I was so glad that I had favor with. And that favor manifested in me continuing on my way without a very expensive ticket. Unfortunately, more than once. But I also remember an officer coming to my window, or two, or three, coming to the window in the course of my life that I had no favor, no relationship with, and I know how that also ends. So favor actually even gets us out of speeding tickets or whatever other tickets we might have. Favor is such a tangible thing, and I want to connect, because oftentimes we don't think about that. We oftentimes put favor on God's in God's court. Like, God, I need this to happen in my life. Maybe you have a project. You have something that God's laid on your heart. I have this dream. I have this project. I have this thing, and I need favor. So, God, I'm going to wait. If you give me favor, God, then I'll know it's you. But there's some responsibility that Solomon is putting at least on his son, and I believe it for us as well, that you are actually responsible as you tie and grab a hold of love and faithfulness. Not only does God store up and begin to give you and see you favorably, but so does man. The promise is that so does man. So does the people around you. As you walk in love and faithfulness, you also grow in favor. So I want us to connect those two things as a core value, that love and faithfulness build favor. And that there is just a matter of time before you will need favor. Favor on earth and favor in the kingdom. That makes sense? You guys okay? Okay. Reading on. In 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Number 2 is trust Him for what you think is not working, and thank Him for what is. If our stability is found primarily in what we understand, our integrity is already compromised. I'll say that again, because I wrote it and I like it. If our stability is found primarily in what we understand, our integrity is already compromised. That's about leaning not on your own understanding. And it is hard to not lean on your understanding. It's so natural and so normal. It easily becomes the biggest support column in our character, in our decision making, in our emotional well-being. If we're not careful, it becomes the main support column, what we understand. And the challenge of that is that at some point you figure out that you don't know everything. And a crack forms. Depending on how big the thing is that you don't know or that you don't understand, the crack expands. And oftentimes, that pillar of your understanding that was holding so much weight in your life crumbles and falls. If our stability is found primarily, there is stability in what we know, like our earthly wisdom, our understanding of Scripture, our memorization, our what we learn, what we know, those are all really important, and they're part of the stability of our character and of who we are and our core values and what we believe. But if the primary source of our stability is in what we understand, then our integrity is already compromised. His plan always requires faith. His plan always requires faith. Have you ever thought you were going to take a shortcut and it ended up being a long cut? The long way around? That's probably been... No, there's a phrase for that. It ended up being the long way around. What's amazing is oftentimes His ways look like the long way around and they end up being the shortcut. And oftentimes we avoid what looks like the long way around and think, I could do this better. I feel this tug in this way, like God wants me to go this way, but that looks like a long way around. When I can see what I need is right there. So, God must be confused. He probably didn't see that it's right here, so He wanted me to go that way. And so we go, no, it's right here, and then we fall in this hole. And then we get a tunnel over here and up and around, and then we get back. So He knows. And that actually it's His plan that makes, it's our ability to walk into that that makes our path straight. And straight is not straight. Straight is the quickest way from here to there. But in the kingdom, straight isn't a line. It's the best way to get from here to there. Trusting in Him will make our path straight. I think of, there's tons of stories, but I think, of course, of Joseph that was given the path, right? He's like, this is where you're going. And so he runs out to tell his brothers, this is where I'm going. Because the quickest way to get there is to let everybody know. And what do? We're going to kill you. Of course, they throw him in the hole and then they go, well, maybe we shouldn't kill him. We'll sell him. So they sell him. And you know the story. If you don't know the story, read the story. It's a great story. So he goes to slavery and then prison and then eventually ends up right where God told him he was going to be. Right? What seemed like the opposite direction. Like you're going to leadership. Slavery. God, this is the wrong way. Right? David actually mentioned David. I think it was you. Yeah, it talked about David and how he was anointed king. But didn't become king. And actually led to the king wanting to kill him. It's like, God, this seems counterproductive. It doesn't seem like the way. But this is, it's trusting in God that makes a straight path to the destiny that He's lined out for you. Yeah? You guys okay? You still in there? All right. Number three. I have 10 of these, but we're not going to do them all today. We're going to save some. Yeah, you don't have that kind of time. Neither do I. Okay. 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. I'm sure this is not talking about any of us. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Who knew that arrogance would hurt your bones? Knowing is overrated. Confidence is good and wisdom is good, but confidence in your wisdom, not so good. You guys get that? Confidence is good. It's really hard to lead anybody anywhere without confidence. And wisdom is really good and really helpful. There's lots about wisdom in Scripture that talks about you need it. But confidence in your wisdom is hurtful to your body and hurtful to your bones. Knowing is overrated. Believing that you know. Confidence in your knowing. Believing that the best you is the one that knows the answers. They're all challenges and setups for failure. Pride's not good for you. It's not good for your body. It's not organic, gluten-free, grass-fed. It's none of those things. But humility, humility, the fear of the Lord, shunning evil, brings health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That was for you, Shelley, by the way. Just kidding. The gluten-free part. I didn't mean the shunning evil part. I mean, that is for you too, but not more than anybody else. Can we just rewind that part? And I didn't mean that. The other thing is, I don't want us to confuse the fear of the Lord with afraid of the Lord. It's something that's commonly just kind of either confused or skipped over because our confidence in approaching the throne room and a loving God doesn't fit with what we believe the word fear feels like, because it talks about the fear of the Lord. And just quickly, I mean, there's a lot to study on the fear of the Lord, but to kind of quickly simplify, it helps me anyway, that the fear of the Lord is really just an awareness of Him. It's about giving Him glory and honor and praise because He deserves it. It's about knowing the character of God and understanding that He is God. Being afraid of Him is actually the absence of love and freedom. When you're afraid, it's the ever-present fear of punishment that drives you to obey instead of reverence and respect and honor and love. So even though it kind of can sound the same, the fear of the Lord, being afraid of the Lord, sounds kind of the same, it actually comes from a completely different location. It comes from a completely different core value. One is reverence, honor, and respect. And one is fear and I use the word fear, but anyway, yeah. One is being afraid. Punishment. Absent of love. All right, verse 9. This is the fourth one. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Anybody looking for any sort of financial prosperity? Nope, we're too righteous and holy for that. No, we all do. I mean, we all want to be prosperous. We all want, and I don't just mean a prosperous soul. We want a prosperous bank account. We want to be able to make it. We want to be able to. And if it really, I mean, it's all throughout Scripture, but if it was nowhere else in Scripture, this is enough to lead us in that direction, I believe. But honor the Lord with what He's given you. Everything is a blessing. I preached a message on blessing months ago, and I talked about the key to living in blessing. The first key to living in blessing, and the most important key to living in blessing, is the revelation or the realization that you are. That's the key. You are blessed. You are blessed. And when you start realizing that you are blessed, you start thinking like someone who walks in blessing. The idea of sharing your first fruits is the idea that it's all a blessing. That it's all a gift from Him anyway. I'll share a quick story. I'll say this too. When you think you have nothing, trust me, you can always have less. something to think about. Which led me to this story. From pretty early on with our kids, is Isaac in here or just Ella? Ella's working the camera. But pretty early on, I didn't necessarily do this intentionally. I did, but when I thought back, I realized what I was doing, and so then I did it a little bit more. I started taking tithes from their food. I know it sounds weird at first, but just follow me. Mostly sweets. So when I would, like, we were somewhere, and can I get a cotton candy, or can I get an ice cream, or that, so I'd get them something, and let me taste. So I'd take a bite, or pull a piece of cotton candy, or whatever it is, or something that they had that I got them that I wanted. And so I every once in a while I wouldn't take the whole thing and give them a bite. I would take a bite. Now, of course, in the beginning, and when they were younger, they would, "Hey, Dad," and sometimes they still do. But for the most part, they got used to it pretty quick and started realizing that there's actually plenty on the plate. There's plenty of ice cream in the cone. There's plenty of cotton candy that when I'm done, I'll be fulfilled. And actually sharing with Dad actually made me happy. And sometimes I would have to remind them, like, I paid for that. It's all mine, actually. Sometimes when they were younger. But now, actually, you know, they're at the age where they're starting to buy things themselves. And it's actually pretty rare that my kids will try and turn me down when I say, "Hey, can I have a chip out of your chip bag?" Or, "Hey, can I have a piece of gum?" Or, "Hey, let me taste your ice cream." Or, "Hey," it's part of their normal. And it's not sharing. I think it's important that it's not just sharing. Actually, that's a different message, but the way we raise our kids to share is that you don't have to share. Because actually, that's true. You don't have to share. It's not very fun, and people don't like you very much when you don't. But it's your toy. You're actually totally in control of your toy. What do you want to do? That's a totally different message. But the point is that it wasn't that I was teaching them to share. It was I was teaching them ownership, and I was teaching them the rules of tithing. I was providing something for them. It was theirs. I had given it to them. But they needed to have a willing heart to give back. You bought it. Thank you for buying it for me. I'm going to enjoy this whole thing. There's plenty for me. Right? At first, when it happened, it was like, I want this. I want this whole ice cream. This is my cotton candy. Don't touch it. Dad! But over practice and time and watching Dad just take a bite, sometimes take a bigger bite depending on their attitude, how much it needed to be adjusted. They learned something. They got it. That, like, actually, Dad will leave plenty for me. There's plenty for me. And honestly, like, I don't even need this thing. Like, I get it because I'm special. I get it because it's a blessing. I get it because I just asked for it and He bought it for me. I don't need it. I don't even necessarily deserve it. Now my kids are not like, I'm not saying that they're like complete geniuses and they figured this all out. Like, I'm saying that it's inherent in our relationship that they're understanding this. Because it's a repetitive behavior that we work on. And I can expect, actually, that they would do some of the same with you guys. I've raised them to live in blessing, believing that there will be enough. And so it's always okay to give. There will be enough. And when there's not enough, especially you need to give. Just double check and make sure I didn't miss anything. We got one more. Hang in there. Reading on 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son he delights in. I'll tell another story. I've told this story before. I'll try to tell it quickly. But number five is walk all the way through your lickens. It's not punishment, it's discipline. And oftentimes they feel the same, but that's more about the heart condition of the one walking through it than the one doling it out. There's a story. This happened a few years ago. I think Isaac was probably, 11 or 12. Maybe younger than that. He's playing flag football. He'll probably remember this story. Maybe not. I don't know. But we're getting ready to go play flag football. He's all excited. And I said, grab your sweatshirt. And for whatever reason, this season of his life, he was anti, like, being warm. Or preparing or something. I don't know what it was, but no, I don't need a sweatshirt. Did you grab your sweatshirt? No, I don't need my sweatshirt. So, of course, Mom, hey, Isaac, grab your sweatshirt. It's going to be cold. No, I don't need a sweatshirt. Okay. Are you sure? I mean, it's like multiple times. It's going to be cold. No. So we get to the game, and the sun's out. It's cold. It's like that cold kind of football weather, but the sun was out. He runs out on the field, and as weather tends to do, it changes. Some clouds roll in, and these little white flurries start to fall, and it's snowing, and he's in a t-shirt and shorts. And so, of course, when that's happening, and as soon as the sun gets covered up, you know, like the temperature just falls. And so all the other kids run over to the sideline, put their sweatshirts on, and Isaac's kind of standing there. His lips are starting to turn blue. And so he is kind of processing. Now, of course, the other parents are like, you know, looking at us. And you remember this story? Yeah. So they're looking at us, and we're just smiling. Does Isaac need a sweatshirt? No, he's good. He'll be okay. He'll be great. And he kind of knows, you know, he's a smart kid, so he knows what process we're going through. He's like, I can't really run over there and ask. They told me and told me and told me and told me. So a couple times, you know, and he's getting cold now. I said, I don't know, this is a pretty long game. He's getting cold. It's getting colder, and it's going into the evening. You know, it's cold. And Shannon and I are just sitting there smiling like, thank you, God, for snow. This is the most wonderful learning opportunity. We couldn't even have designed it better. And so, you know, the football game gets over, and the parents are just like, man, I don't know what's wrong with those Rosses. And we just kind of, well, whatever. And we get into the car, and Isaac's, you know, like, just freezing. And I said, hey, buddy, you cold? Yeah, I'm cold. You forgot your sweatshirt. Yeah, I'm going to bring a sweatshirt next time. That's a good idea. You're so smart. See, don't, like, we could have rushed down. We're getting offered sweatshirts. Like, I have an extra sweatshirt in my car. And, you know, we've got all these parents that are like just the most wonderful people. And what's wrong with you guys? Why aren't you taking care of your kid? There was a plan to learn a really good lesson. And it wasn't just like, it gets cold, be prepared. But it was also like, hey, your parents love you and want to take care of you. They're not just bugging you. They're actually trying to help you. Listen. There was a couple learning opportunities in there. And we wanted him to learn them. It's so important to learn them. And so, we didn't bail him out of his pain. Because the pain needed to sink in. It needed to happen. Not because we wanted to punish him, but because we loved him. And there was many more football games, and there was many more basketball games, and there was many more soccer games, and many more sweatshirts that needed to be remembered. And not just remembered, but, you know, some responsibility, all those things. You understand what I'm saying? And I feel like I just remember learning, or maybe it wasn't that we learned it, but that it became more real of how much the Lord, how willing the Lord is to let us be uncomfortable for us to learn a lesson that will change and direct the course of our life to health and security and just good thought process and preparing. Does that make sense? You guys with me? If you try and shortcut your consequences, you may find yourself missing a lesson and having to repeat the class. I encourage you that whenever you find yourself in painful consequences, make a point to sit there and grab everything you can lest you return to that class. Everything you can. God, let me learn everything in this season because I never want to come here again. And I'll stay here as long as it takes to learn this lesson so I don't have to come back here again. I don't want to do this loop. I don't want to make this. I know you love me. I know you have good things for me. This doesn't feel good. I know you love me. Let me take something amazing out of this. Will you guys stand with me? I think we're going to do, I got five more. We'll do them next week. Move on through that. And then the week after that, Dixon and Teresa are going to be sharing with us. And, right? Did I get that many weeks, right? Yeah. It's going to be good. Upgrades. I'm sure you can find one today. I know, like, I mean, I went through all these areas as I was just preparing this, and I'm like, God, I need some bigger upgrades in some areas than others, but I need this, I want an upgrade in all these areas. But if there's one that just, that's just sticking out, like, man, I gotta grab the hold of that. I need an upgrade in that, in the way I'm thinking and in the way I'm processing it. Just put your hands out. I'm just going to pray kind of generically, but it's between you and the Lord. He knows and you know what you need. But Lord, we just invite you to upgrade us. We invite a shift and a change in our minds and our mindsets and our hearts. Because after it changes there, it shifts and changes the way we are able to think and behave. Lord, give us patience, give us love, give us faithfulness, give us generosity, kindness, to get everything in every season that you're trying to teach us. I just pray for exponential growth, upgrades, wisdom, awareness, self-control, goodness, just love, just upgrade it all. We invite your upgrade, Lord.